Christmas is just around the corner, so that means it has been 12 months of Call to Action Women in Marketing podcast. Wow, can you believe it? I definitely can't. I hope you enjoy each guest as much as I did. Now, it's time for me to get a well-deserved break. So while we don't come back, just replay all your favorite episodes. Happy holidays, everyone! Welcome to Call to Action, the podcast that brings the most interesting women working in marketing to the spotlight. My name is Isis Lima and I'm your host. Would you like to have a job that you're super passionate about and driven by a cause that feels bigger than yourself? Well, working for a nonprofit might be your answer. Hear from Ella Leitner, the Marketing and Communications Director, who is striving and raising awareness for the causes close to her heart. Hello, hello! Welcome to another episode of Call to Action. Today I'm joined by Ella Leitner. Hi Ella, how are you?
Hi Isis, so nice to talk to you today.
It's lovely to have you here, thanks again. So for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name is Ella, and I am the Director of Marketing and Communications at the Girl Scouts of Greater New York. So for those that don't know, we are the local council. So we represent all five boroughs of New York City. So it's the local council that's part of the national movement of Girl Scouts of the United States. And so we represent the council that is comprised of all five boroughs of New York. And I am very fortunate to be in charge of marketing, responsible for the strategies that ensure that our organization is running smoothly from an external and internal communications across all platforms. And then we're consistent with our branding and our messaging, and that we uphold the ideals and the personalities of the Girl Scouts brand and the visibility across all of New York City.
So Ella, tell us how you started with Girl Scouts. Have you ever been involved with them before?
So my career has really been split between nonprofit and corporate. For the greater part of my career, I've been in nonprofit, which is really my passion. I would say that I'm a versatile marketer across many industries that are diverse between entertainment and financial services, and really found my way to nonprofit because I'm a mission-based person at heart. What led me to the Girl Scouts is the fact that my daughter has been a Girl Scout for the past 6 years. And so I saw the organization from afar as a Girl Scout parent and volunteer. And when the opportunity presented itself, I really jumped in because I had this career as a marketer. And so I understood from a consumer perspective what the challenges and the needs of the organization were. And it was a great opportunity for me to bring my experiences as a marketer to what the need was for the organization moving forward. It was a role that was new for the organization, and it was a really great opportunity for me to take my skills and experience and interest to something that was mission-based and that was a real passion of mine.
So Ella, it's so interesting what you say about being mission-led, and this is something that really resonates with me because sometimes I do struggle with the idea of working in big corporations and don't really being a nonprofit and making the work better. I'm just selling something in the end. So how much of the importance being working for a nonprofit had in your career? So was a decision that you took lightly and say, I'm going to invest my time on that, or opportunity just arose? Tell us how you ended up in a nonprofit.
So for me, my career has always danced around both corporate and nonprofit. And I would say that I'm industry agnostic. I've worked at some really amazing corporate organizations that were either S-corps or really had a strong mission and a social corporate responsibility component to it too. When you work for a corporate entity, obviously your budgets are going to be much greater and you really feel like you could make a significant impact the same way that you could for a nonprofit. But for me, I really like to see the impact of my work. And so the nonprofits that I worked for were always something that really meant a lot to me on a personal level. The same way that Girl Scouts really touched my heart because I saw the empowerment that it brought to my daughter and what it did for her in terms of her confidence and her character building. It really led me see the work that I did firsthand and see that play out in the marketplace. Prior to my work with Girl Scouts, I worked for AARP was a little bit of a pivot out of marketing in that I had more of a community engagement, community outreach type of role with a very different audience because that was a 50 plus population. But I really saw the way that the work that we did affected people's everyday lives and really put into perspective the importance of getting a message out, the psychology of marketing. And prior to my work at AARP, I was at the College Board, so working with a youth audience, but more teens that were in the high school level that were thinking about the experience of education and the possibilities that it opened up for them to attain college and college success. So it's something that I think about a lot as a marketer of how people are poised to make a purchasing decision. And when you think about that from a corporate perspective, I think, Isis, you mentioned that, you know, purchasing decision and a purchasing funnel. And these are words that we as marketers think about all the time of putting the right message in front of someone and making sure that we create a funnel for them of making the right decision. For me, when you're in a nonprofit, you kind of feel that every day a little bit more crucially because someone's decisions affect their lives in a more personal level, because it's more of an intrinsic heart-to-heart kind of relationship that you're building with a brand versus the dollar sign. So I can check a box and say, I made a connect with a brand that's a little bit more touches at the heart a little bit more than touches at the purse strings.
Yeah, and I think as well, because your daughter is part of the Girl Scout also, it's something that you live through it and you live before you joined the company, now during the company. Is she still a scout?
She is. She's a freshman in high school. And so some days she says, do I still have to go on with this program? But the answer is always yes, because she sees the importance of her work played out. And it makes her feel really good whenever someone says, oh, you're a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout, or my mother was a Girl Scout, or I hope my daughter could have this experience as well. So it does bring a smile to her face. And there's a lot of understanding of what the program is and how it has evolved over time.
And because you're the first person that I interview here that works for a nonprofit, what do you think that are the challenges and the common things that a nonprofit have been a marketer with other industries?
Sure, great question. I think for us, the challenge is always going to be budget. So really that customer-centric experience is something that every brand is going to go through of how do you make your brand relevant from a customer approach in a changing landscape. You know, we're in a digital world. Things are continuously evolving and changing. And we as a business need to make sure that we're relevant and we're adapting to all of these landscapes. But we suffer from a lack of budget. So we rely on a lot on strategic partnerships, and we rely a lot on making sure that we have the skills and we have the technology that's going to enable us to really be agile and have the innovation that we need to move our brand forward, especially in a brand like Girl Scouts, where we're very youth focused. The audience that we serve is the K through 12 market. So we're talking to a primary audience of 5-year-olds to 18-year-olds. That's who our program is for. But with that, their parents. So I sometimes feel like they have the skills that we adults that are in marketing don't have. They're up on technology and on social media that we're trying to catch up with them, but we don't always have the budget to understand the world that they're in. I like to say I'm not a digital native. You know, I didn't grow up with the technologies that my kids are outshining and outpacing me in. So when you're in a nonprofit, you kind of have to live and breathe the space that your audience is in, vis-a-vis the experience that they're outpacing you in. So I think that's, you know, primarily first and foremost. I think we're also in nonprofits, we're very protective of our brand because we have that mission that we're always trying to protect. So it becomes very important for us. And also making sure that the work that we do is scalable, making sure that when we think about success, that we're responsible and that we look at our metrics. But again, we don't have the reliance on making sure that we have work that we do.
Yeah, I think something that I'm living proof of that, it's how technology is evolving completely. And sometimes it can feel a bit outpaced. So for me, TikTok is something that if you say to me, do a strategy for TikTok, I have no clue what to do because I barely know how to use the tool itself. So you mentioned a few times saying that you have to be where your audience is, and those kids are in those social media platforms, the new ones. So how do you keep up with that? Do you get people to help you with it, or you prefer not even touch because not something that you can address?
So it's also a good question. We're on a lot of those platforms. I can't say that we're on all of them. We like to think that we interact in the audiences where we can best serve our audiences. So we definitely have a presence on social media. We're not in all social media, but we're in, as an example, we're in Facebook, but that's where the adult members of our community are kind of hanging out. So that's our best place to reach adult volunteers and our troop leaders and members. But we find that our kids are on Instagram. So we're on Instagram and we try to speak language that's going to be relevant for them. We're not on TikTok. We don't have a TikTok presence. However, the girls that are part of our community are certainly on TikTok. And so we like to see what they're doing. And we like to make sure that we understand the world that they're coming from. And we engage with them and we have dialogue with them. We're also on YouTube. So we make sure that we post videos about the Girl Scouts work that's happening. A lot of the work that we do is centered around STEM. So technology is certainly a big part of the Girl Scouts experience. And we make sure that we promote that in relevant mediums, and social media is certainly a big part of that. And so we put that out to market in ways that would make sense, again, in the platforms that the girls are using, and they're a big part of that. So you know, we talk a little bit about influencers. I would say that our primary influencers are the girls that are engaging with the programming firsthand.
So, Ella, tell me then, because you have to resonate with the kids and you also have to resonate with the parents who are in the end making a decision if their kids are going to be a scout or not. So how do you define your audience? How do you target them?
Sure. So great question, too. So our programming is relevant, again, for a varied population of girls that are in kindergarten all the way through high school. And so we like to say we have something for everyone. So it's a great question for our programming department, too, that I wish I would have on this podcast with me, because they can really sell someone on the experience and how it changes. And you can stay with the program all the way from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. But one thing I want to highlight is the experience definitely ages up with you as a girl walks through the movement. So we have something that's a great program for girls that are in grades 6 through 12, so the middle school through high school experience, called the Leadership Institute. And it's a really amazing program for girls to learn entrepreneurial skills and engage with corporate partners that have workplace visits. And we've adapted that program during the pandemic, where a lot of it was virtual experiences to learn about different careers and get into the mindset of becoming a future leader. We also have a highest awards program. And so someone that stays with our movement can take advantage of really amazing opportunities that allow you to put together proposals for how you want to showcase your own interests in something that can get you a highest award with us, so that all the way through a Bold Award, which is a renowned program on a national level. And so there are incredible opportunities that kind of age up with you, that as you go through the movement, it starts with everything from your interest in maybe doing craft projects that are more troop related, all the way through camp and environmental programs and STEM related programs. And so I think when someone first learns about Girl Scouts, the program evolves. And so as a marketer, it's a good challenge to have, but we're kind of selling this experience in total, where you can take advantage of something that's troop-based, you can take advantage of something that's more individual-based. And then, of course, there's the product side of it, which is the cookie program. And I think most people are very familiar with Girl Scout cookies, which is a product that we sell and engage with. And so from the marketing side, force, which is the Girl Scout cookie sellers, to be out there and give them the tools that they need when it's cookie season, to know how to be incredible cookie entrepreneurs and how to run their own business selling cookies. But then we also talk to the consumer side of the business and to let the community know that it's time to support the girls with their cookie sales, and to know how to find cookies and how to purchase cookies, and the feel good message behind that. And what happens when you buy a box of Girl Scout cookies? What does that do? And how does that build confidence for someone? And how you're really encouraging a 5-year-old to feel good about the first sale that they made, and how they're running their own business from the Girl Scout cookie program. So for me as a marketer, there's so many ways to think about the product side, the service side, the brand side, of being able to present all of these incredible opportunities for the brand side, the program side, the membership side. And so every year there's a really great chance to kind of reinvent the work that we do And so if I think about my career as a marketer, from acquisition and retention and all of these words that I know from building loyalty, it allows me to apply the discipline of marketing and the psychology and consumer-centric side of marketing to something that I'm really passionate about.
Okay, we just have to do an anecdote here. If you are not based on the US, Ella, can you explain us a little bit about the cookie program?
Sure. So the cookie program is really exciting. The cookie program is the largest girl-led business in the country. And so the way the cookie program works is that every Girl Scout has the opportunity to sell Girl Scout cookies. And what that is that there are different varieties of cookies across the country. And it's a way for girls to set up their own cookie business where they can go traditional in the sense that they can go door to door to their neighbors and their friends, sell cookies, or they can set up their own custom cookie website. And so people can buy cookies from each girl's individual cookie website. So that girls learn various skills from decision making and goal setting and money management and people skills and some business ethics. And customers from all over the country can buy cookies to support a girl's cookie business. And it's over 100-year-old program that is really well known, and everyone looks forward to it every time of year of buying Girl Scout cookies to support Girl Scouts and support their troops.
That's absolutely amazing. I didn't know it was that big that they even can sell online. I always saw in the American movies that the girls are just selling in a little stall in front of their house. So they went online now.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, the Girl Scouts have kept up with the times and have created a digital version of the cookie program. And so every girl... In the past couple of years, the Girl Scout cookie program has caught up with the digital times and has her online cookie to run her own cookie business in a digital format. And with safety features in mind, that you have to go through a safety training with your parent or caregiver, but it enables every Girl Scout to have her own cookie website and to be able to run her own cookie business online during cookie season.
That's amazing. Amazing. I'm not only impressed, but I'm super hungry now.
Come find you during cookie season.
Perfect. And let's come back a little bit. You have so much experience and you went through so many different roles and companies. So how you started in marketing? Was your first decision you went to college and knew exactly what I want to do? Or it was a bit of a trying and error?
Sure. So I went to college and I graduated with a degree in psychology and women's studies. And I was really interested in consumer behavior. So my first jobs post-college were more in the traditional advertising agency realm. And I feel like a lot of marketers got their start in the agency side of things, which I thought was great. I like to say that I cut my teeth in direct marketing in the credit card world, which was really great because it was sort of that high energy, fast-paced world of churning out a lot of work for mostly financial services, credit card brands. And it was a lot of great integrated channel experience. So the 360 model of working with the traditional channels at the time, TV, radio, heavy print, in the dinosaur ages of before digital. So I really got the chance to work with media buying and media planning and the traditional account management side. But I really realized that I wanted to be client side. I wanted to be more account facing. And so my agency roles led me to client side in-house marketing within nonprofits. And so for me, that led to mission-based work more in arts and culture. My first client side role was in New York City museums. I worked at the Museum of Jewish Heritage, which really spoke to who I am as a person. I am the child of Holocaust survivors. Both of my parents were born during the time of the Holocaust. And so for me, it was really a way to come back to my roots. And so it was really just an incredible experience for me to kind of bring it all home and work for an incredible institution. I worked for the Museum of Jewish Heritage, which is New York's Holocaust Museum, running their marketing. And I was there for a number of years during the time that was really, it's a beacon institution for New York City and a premier cultural institution for New York City as well. It was a transformative experience for me. And I left the museum during the time that my first child, my daughter, who is now 14, was born, to then take another role at another beacon cultural institution for New York City at the 92nd Street Y. And it really engaged my passion for all things New York City. I'm a New Yorker at heart. I don't think I could ever leave New York. It's, you know, it's the reason that I live in New York, is so that I can enjoy all that New York has to offer. Arts and culture is a big part of that. And I think it really grounded me in who I am as a person. Presenting kind of the world-class experience of arts and culture is really just what I'm all about and who I am. And I love that my career took me from thinking about what New Yorkers need at the time that they need it most, which for me, again, was really arts, culture, entertainment experiences. And my career kind of pivoted from there into nonprofit. And I feel like I've dovetailed around corporate, but it's what's made me stay within nonprofit.
And for people who sometimes think that it's not possible to align your passions and what means to you with work, what would be your tip for them?
Follow your heart would be my tip. You know, we all have to think about what's our reason to get up in the morning. And it's a combination of family and finding the balance between working to live and living to work. And I feel like I've been really lucky, because for me, it's that balance has always been the right balance. It's the things that I love every day. It's working for a company that's a brand that I really can find my passion for, that makes me feel excited about the work that I do, the difference that I make. And, you know, I can't say that I'm saving lives, but I like to think that hopefully I'm making a difference and making people's lives have a little more meaning behind them. And it's something that I want to instill in my kids, of sort of that purposeful driven life and having some meaning behind that. Having things matter. So doing what you do, having the skills that you have, but having them mean something at the end of the day, but bringing the creativity and the communication and building community. And I think it's also what's kept my family in New York, you know, all this time. Those are the reasons that we do what we do.
Ella, for president, what is next for you then? Because you accomplished so much and there's so much passion on everything that you do, and you still do those with Girl Scout. But what do you think's being next for you? Maybe presidency?
That's a lovely thought. So I was not born in the United States. So as nice as an idea as that is, I don't think that's logistically possible. But I think it's just continuing to enjoy what we do. If the pandemic taught us one thing, it's a little bit of live for the moment, because tomorrow is not a guarantee for anyone. So I think what the pandemic has made us really explore is what we love to do when we're not working, when we're not doing the things that we're responsible for every day. And for me, I've really refound my passion in music. And so my husband and I have really been enjoying going to see a lot of live music and enjoying concerts and live streaming and figuring out, now that our kids are a little bit older and we don't need babysitters to make all of that happen, really enjoying that New York is open again and we can go to museums and we can go to Broadway shows and we can find the time to do all of that again. So it's finding the balance between working really hard and making sure that family is taken care of, but having a little bit of fun too.
This is so important, especially for us, that even though marketing is a science, that is a lot of creativity, and being able to be in gigs, being able to see shows, for me at least, it's a source of inspiration. Where do you get your inspiration from?
When I have the time, I think I want to read a little bit more. So I think what I've lost in all of this is my time to read for fun. I definitely have gone down the rabbit hole of social media as my downtime, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. So thank you for being on the front lines of making podcasts happen. But I listen to a lot of music. I enjoy pop culture. So I watch a lot of TV. I go to the movies when I can. I'm really inspired by creative people that put out content that's so fascinating. And there's more content now to consume than ever. So I'm really drawn to people who have creative talent, and I like to consume as much of it as I possibly can. So listening to music, watching TV, going out there and seeing shows and seeing live entertainment really inspires me. I get a lot of creativity and I get a lot of drive from that. I really would love to find some more time to travel and get back. I have the travel bug and I can't wait for things to feel safe again so we can start to explore more travel.
Yeah, we all hope for that. Hopefully soon, with the way that the world is open up and the vaccines are getting higher. Hopefully we all be able to see each other again, travel. Maybe I can even go to New York and see you.
Absolutely. That would be great. I look forward to that.
And would you say that when you go to those places and get your inspiration topped up, would you say it does impact your work in a positive way?
Absolutely. Such a global world. I think it's really important that we learn from other people. We take our differences and we celebrate them and we continue to do that. And we explore each other's cultures through food and through music. And we find ways to take what makes us different and celebrate that and bring that into our everyday work and our everyday lives. And that's such a value for us as a family. And I hope that that continues to be a value for the world as well.
Yeah, I have to drop the mic now. But Ella, you shared so much with us, so many words of wisdoms and tips and everything. I think I'm just feeling completely inspired by your passion. So if you could leave us with a word of wisdom to our audience, what that would be?
My word of wisdom. I think when it comes to marketing, I would say that a lot of it is really trial and error. And if you're lucky enough to have a budget, sometimes it's just a matter of throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping that it sticks. So don't be afraid to try new things and give yourself some permission to fail. So if you have an idea, run it up the flagpole and get permission to fail and throw the spaghetti at the wall and hope that it sticks and carve out a little bit of budget to see your idea through. And execute it and make sure that you are confident enough to do it.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Ella. Thank you so much for being our guest and for sharing your passion with us.
Thank you, Isis. It was great talking to you.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
This podcast was edited by Aerolitus Smart Edition.